You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Backbone Collective is an independent organisation taking action to change New Zealand's alarming violence against women statistics. The organisation released their first report today outlining data collected and evidence of experiences victims themselves have had with the family court. I began by asking Deborah to tell me a little bit about the report.
So the report is called All Eyes on the Family Court, and it's the first watchdog report produced by the Backbone Collective. When we launched a month ago, we made some statements in the media about concern about how the family court was functioning for women and children who've experienced violence and abuse. And lots and lots and lots of women contacted us, Facebook and email, and messaging, telling us their stories. And so we decided to make the topic of our first watchdog report on the family court. So it really is an attempt to shine the spotlight on one particular part of the system. And what we did was we went back to 10 women who had joined up as members of the Backbone since our launch and asked if they'd like to be involved in writing this watchdog report about the family court. So we asked those 10 women to give us questions that they would like to ask people in authority about the family court. Those women don't know who each other are, and they just sent us their 160 questions, which we have put under different themes that we identified, and they are just presented in a very raw way in the report. So these are women who have been through the family court, and we've just given them an opportunity to ask people in authority about different things that they've experienced. So I think their questions are incredibly powerful and insightful, and they definitely do shine the light on where there is system failure in the family court. From reading their questions, from my perspective, Ruth and I have talked about this quite a lot since we launched. You know, we imagined that the family court was hard and difficult for women before we started the Backbone, but we had no idea how bad it was. And that's been really, really shocking for Ruth and I both as we read through these women's questions and get constant messages from women in the community about what's happening to them in the family court.
So what are the main issues that you're seeing with the family court and how it's currently operating?
Well, the main issues that came forward from the questions that the women have offered for this report and also from communications with many of the members in the Backbone is that the family court is a closed court. And what that means is that the usual checks and balances that make sure courts operate safely and fairly and in a balanced way isn't being upheld. And so women are experiencing the family court like another form of abuse. So they're being silenced in the court. Their experiences of violence and abuse are being minimised. Some women have talked about really poor treatment from some of the judges, being verbally abused in the court. And I think one of the critical issues that's come forward is that women are talking to us about their children being forced into contact and care arrangements with the abusive father once they separate. And the family court is ordering these arrangements, so it's actually putting children in greater danger than if the woman had stayed with the abusive man and could protect the child. So over and over again, women are saying, even some women have contacted us saying that when they've spoken to lawyers about potentially leaving the abusive relationship, lawyers are saying, don't leave because the family court will force your children into care and contact arrangements with the abusive man. You're better off to stay in the abusive relationship. So we find this horrific, and women are talking about how their children's views aren't being listened to or aren't being reported truthfully. Children being suicidal because of being forced to spend care and contact time with abusive dads, but that's still not being taken notice of by the family court. And then women not being able to talk about what's going on in these cases, because oftentimes they're silenced or even gagging orders are put in place so they can't talk about what's going on. And It's not like the criminal court where members of the public can just walk in and sit down and listen to what's going on. The family court is very closed and very private. So in a way, it does kind of mirror that sort of private and silencing nature of what happens at home. Women also have asked questions about their safety at the family court, that they're forced into joint activities with the abusive person. You know, whether that's sitting outside the courtroom in a waiting area with him or being forced to do mediation or dispute resolution, not really even being able to get safely to their car after the court hearing because he's at the same place. Just that their safety is not attended to at all, and that of their children either. So it is really concerning.
Yeah, so what are the consequences of these issues with the court? Did women find that they're resisting going to the court at all?
Well, oftentimes women don't have the choice. So what we are releasing a survey today that's open to all women who've experienced violence and abuse, asking them about their experience of the family court. And women can get that survey link off our website, backbone.org.nz. One of the things we're really interested in, because we've been hearing from women a lot over the last month, who were tied up in court proceedings for many, many years. I'm talking like 10 years, some of these women. And it's not that they are putting applications into the court, it's that their abusive ex-partner is now using the court as the new tool of abuse. So he might be constantly filing applications, and so she's forced into, you know, defending the application or replying to the submission or, you know, whatever it is. But it's like women often don't have a choice about being involved in the family court, particularly when there's care of children orders going on. It seems to be they can get dragged out for years and years and years and years. And it's financially ruining women. That's the other thing they're telling us, that they have no control. Many of these women are not qualifying for legal aid. Many of these women are talking about very well-off ex-partners who are able to use financial resources to keep the litigation going, but these women have no access to money themselves and they're financially ruined. They're also traumatised, highly traumatised. So these are women that, you know, have come out of violent and abusive relationships and often have trauma responses to what they've experienced in the relationship. And they're finding that their treatment in the family court is re-traumatising them again. Not only are they having to sit in the same room as the person that was violent towards them and psychologically controlling and abusing, but, you know, they're getting verbally abused in some instances by judges. They're having untrue reports written about them. They're being discussed as if they're women with revenge on their mind that are making up allegations of abuse, you know, being told they're crazy. It's really bad.
So the report also mentions shortfalls with the legislation. Can you tell me a bit more about this?
Yeah, it's interesting because there are two main pieces of legislation that kind of sit over the top of the sorts of court processes that these women are involved in. So when women want a protection order, they apply to the court under the Domestic Violence Act 1995, and they can apply to have a protection order, which means that if it gets granted, the person that abused them can't make contact with them at all. At the same time, often, the abusive partner will start Care of Children Act proceedings, which is when they're trying to get contact or shared care of the child. And so what women are telling us is that in the family courts at the moment, the Care of Children Act proceedings are usurping the Domestic Violence Act proceedings. So basically, women's protection is being put on hold while the court tries to sort out the Care of Children Act proceedings. They sort of cancel each other out. Like, if a judge decides that a woman and her children need protection from an abusive partner, father, why then are they getting into lengthy, drawn-out court proceedings about how to make those children have contact with that same man? So that seems to be, the women are saying that the bits of legislation aren't talking to each other, and that they're finding that, like, when the if their partner gets charged under a criminal offence of assault and appears in the criminal court, the woman may be involved in the criminal court as a victim and get a victim advisor and get the police prosecution acting on their behalf, and they get a different kind of response. But at the same time, they might be applying for a protection order in the family court. But in that court jurisdiction, they're treated like equal partners. There's no acknowledgement of, you know, their experience of being a victim of domestic violence and abuse. They're treated like say, how you would in a civil dispute or like a tenancy tribunal, where it's just two sort of equal people sorting out an issue. That's kind of the approach in the family court. So that's a huge kind of gap between how the two courts run, and the information's not being shared between the two courts. Yeah, and women are also saying, why is it that New Zealand legislation and international legislation demands that children's safety is the paramount consideration in any proceeding, and yet in the New Zealand Family Court, children are being forced into contact and care arrangements with abusive men?
So what needs to happen now? What will you do with this report and the results you've had from these surveys?
Well, when we get the results from the survey, so we hope to get many, many hundreds of women to participate in the family court survey, because that will give us more information about how widespread the issues are, and then we'll produce a report on our findings early May, I would say. And the Backbone Collective is all about continuous improvement. And so that means that we are being completely transparent in our activity. So we are asking those in authority, whether that's the government or the principal family court judge or the chief district court judge, to respond to those 160 questions in our report. And we will be publishing their responses on our website, and we'll also be tracking how long it takes those in authority to respond to the questions, because we're all about improving accountability of the system. So we just plan to keep shining the spotlight on the issue and raising it publicly in the media and in other forums. And we think it's a critical issue, the family court in New Zealand, and we need to do something about it quickly.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.